today on Real Radio.
If you're a true Christian, you can't get away with much. Have you noticed? If you're a true Christian following Jesus, you can't get away with much. Why? Because you belong to him. And he'll resist you. He'll act against you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called My Dear Church with a message called My Dear Thyatira, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out certain churches in Asia Minor, which of course is now modern-day Turkey. His intention? To deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening these days. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others call it simply a process of evolution. But one thing is perfectly clear. God is speaking to the world, and really, we need to listen to him. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when the Lord points out what we're doing wrong, he always mixes his discipline with hope. In this day and age, and what we're dealing with, of course, God is watching how we react. Either we're guided by our fears, or we're refusing to compromise our faith and are continuing to do good. And now in his message called, My Dear Thyatira, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus says, I'm writing to the church at Thyatira, and I'm defining you. I know something about you. What is it, Jesus? In verse 20, he says, I have this against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce. We'll stop right there at teach. Well, that's enough. This woman, listen, is in your church. In fact, I'm pretty much certain her name wasn't Jezebel. Who names their kid Jezebel? I mean, nobody does that. You know who Jezebel is, right? Jezebel, if you don't know, mark this down. King Ahab was such a tragic disappointment. King Ahab married, for political reasons, he married a Sidonian woman whose father was the king of the Sidonians, a north shore coastal pagan nation from Israel. But Ahab marries Jezebel in a political marriage alignment, which is condemned in the Bible. The Jews, listen, two things never should happen according to God. Number one, Israel, never look to other nations to be your protector, provider, strength. And Christian, never marry an unbeliever. Why? Because you're asking for trouble. And Ahab marries Jezebel, and she was notorious for Baal worship. By the way, Baal is also known, can be spelled or known as B-E-L, Jezebel. Her name comes from the gods that her culture worshiped. Jezebel, that was Ahab's first warning. What's your name? What's your name, sweetie? Jezebel. He should have went, now, have a nice day. He should have pulled out some garlic and whipped it around the air. Or the moment you hear somebody say, hi, and you ask them, what's your name? And they say, Jezebel, you need to leave, okay? And it's not only the name, because I don't think anybody names her. Who names their kid Jezebel? No, I'm pretty sure nobody in the world's named Jezebel. And I don't think this woman at the church at Thyatira was Jezebel by name. There was a woman at that church who had the spirit of Jezebel upon her. She had the actions. She had the attitude. Was it linked in demonic activity? I'm almost certain. But it doesn't say exactly. But Jezebel was horrible. I want to say Jezebel was a witch. She was probably something to the kin of a witch in that kind of a world, because she was highly spiritual and she worshiped pagan gods, and she introduced that into Israel when Ahab married her. And she was the first lady really of Israel when she married Ahab. And as I said, she was an idol-worshiping Sidonian. She was supposed to be very, very attractive. She had a priestess group that were known in antiquity to be very spiritual, very, very beautiful, very seductive. Jezebel's court, if you want to call that. And the word allow here means, God, Jesus says, I have this against you because you allow it. So look, remember who it's written to. To the angel of the church of Thyatira. Remember what the word angel means? To the pastor, the spiritual leader, the one that will hold, will be held accountable for Thyatira. You allow it. Pastor, you're allowing this false doctrine to emanate from this woman at this church in Thyatira, and she's corrupting the church, just like Jezebel corrupted Israel. That's a tremendous allegation, but it comes from the one with the eyes of fire, remember that? There's a particular aberrant warning here about false actions, and the leader in the church of Thyatira, they're okay with it. They had all these wonderful attributes, but they absolutely violated the will of God by allowing false doctrine in their church. And let's be honest, be very careful. Let's be very technical, very careful, because there's, even today, there's pastors today that, in my opinion, don't handle this argument very well. It says that in the midst of you is this woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophetess. Now, number one, mark it down. I can feel people getting ready to write me a letter right now. Just be smart before you write. The word prophetess is not a bad thing. Okay, Philip had daughters and they were prophetess. It's not bad. It's okay when done right. What's a tip off here is that this woman who is in the spirit of Jezebel calls herself a prophet. She is a strong-headed, willful, big mouth, so to speak, big mouth. You'd never have to wonder what she's thinking. And she's always manipulating, always conniving to get that church on her side or for the right people to side with her to have her way. And she teaches, listen, she's probably very charismatic. She's probably very articulate, very knowledgeable. But if she were a biblical prophetess, she would not have those attributes. This is just like Satan. He takes what's good from God and he prostitutes it and he pollutes it. Satan does this about everything. God creates government, Satan produces politics. God gives sex and Satan turns it into porn. God blesses man with marriage, Satan turns around and makes it the worst thing in the world when it's not done right. God gives economy or man's ability to make and to sell and to buy, and Satan winds up either going one way with it in total materialism or abject poverty and socialism. He corrupts everything he touches. That's what he does. He's the best devil there'll ever be. And he's trying to do it to this church. And so what's the shame is that the pastor allowed this liberal grace, we'll call it, which is no grace at all. And it began to break up the church. It began to destroy the church. So let me read to you, Jezebel, or the spirit of. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 33. You can read that about her, where it says that what Elijah prophesied would happen to her. It said, whoever and or whatever she is, she was a woman in the church of Thyatira that assumed the position of a spiritual authority contrary to God's pattern. The name Jezebel represents the imported corruption from the outside world that was brought into the church by her. The pastor allowed it, permitted it, looked the other way so she could introduce or slip in or add a compromised worship system of prayer, music, study, worship, activities that were not God approved. This had infiltrated the church in Thyatira, and she is not, listen, she is not the servants or servant of God, nor in the family of God. That needs to be remembered. So she begins now to make this church carnal. So church, let's just remember this. This day and age, let's be awesome. This is an awesome time. This, man, I'm just gonna say it. This time, churches are being tested And the test is stronger now than it was at the beginning. When I say test, remember when everything was shut down, we had to stay home? The church was being tested. And Satan began to walk around the test. God's doing a test. And Satan's walking around looking to see if there's any unlocked doors. Looking around to see if anything's undone. Looking around to see if anything's off. God's doing this thing, and now we're 1 week into it, 2 weeks into it, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks into it, 9, 10, 12 weeks into it. God's doing a test, and people, listen, people are either getting stronger or people, listen, the test is bringing out, the fire is bringing out the truth or the lack thereof regarding their claim of faith towards Christ. Over time, you know, listen, you can either cook stuff in a microwave, it's going to get cooked, or a crock pot. For us in the West, this shutdown has been like a crock pot now. It doesn't matter if it's an instantaneous attack, which would be a microwave, or a prolonged, sustained attack, crock pot. Satan doesn't care. God is using this to strengthen us, but Satan is circling the camp, and he's picking off the weak, just like this virus does. Did you know this? If you're healthy, you're fine. The people who have died from this are either over 80 years of age or over, or they had compromised immune system, which is interesting. Their immune system, we're finding out now that people who are perishing that are young from this, it just so happens that they either had lung issues, they had immune issues, they had diabetes, or they had chemotherapy issues because their immune system was wasted. Now they're finding out that people who vape have compromised their lungs and they're susceptible to the coronavirus. Something was brought in to render you not healthy for the fight. Because Jesus is coming back for his church, the heat is up. By microwave or by crock pot, time of testing has come. And you're either hanging on to Christ or you're failing. You're either going with faith in him, or you've now divorced yourself, and you know this, you divorced yourself from him, and you'd never say such a thing, but you are being guided by the fears, guided by CNN, guided by the World Health Organization, data constantly changing, constantly messed up. I'm not even gonna tell you right now what is supposedly the actual death rate from COVID in the United States now that's being published by the CDC. I saw the numbers, I don't believe them. Why? Because they're so low. I'm not even going to talk about it. Not even going to mention the number yet. I have to have proof. From these tens of thousands to that? Well, yeah, we moved out pneumonia. We took out people dying from this, took out people from dying the death. We got this number now. We'll see. I'll report to you if it is in fact true. But if it's true, a lot of people are going to be shocked that they had failed this test. Very serious. And we take that, apply it to the rest of our lives. She caused my servants to commit sexual immorality. Wow. She seduced them, caused them to eat things sacrificed to idols. You say, wait a minute, Jack, that freaked me out. What do you mean sexual immorality? Yeah, isn't it amazing? Number one, this is actual sexual immorality, but also in the Bible, we can commit sexual adultery, or spiritual adultery, I should say, against God in the worship of other things, money, toys, people, cars, power, position, education, whatever it is, nature. So Jesus says, I have this against you. You allow, Pastor, you're allowing this woman to cause people in your church to become carnal. And she's even invited them to come and partake of these pagan feasts where there's a little bit of wine here and there, a little bit of alcohol here and there. I don't know what they did back then. Maybe they did a little bit of pot here and there. And they wound up, as we mentioned last time, like the church at Smyrna and the church at Pergamum, where there's the looming temptation. And certainly Pergamum was guilty of this, where you step out to compromise. Well, I don't really believe in what they're doing. I don't believe in their worldview. I don't believe in that. But because of the union pressure, I'm going to go to the event and I'm going to stand there. You know, I'm going to act like I'm doing this, but I'm just going to stand. I won't be doing it, but I'll be standing. And you're in the vicinity of, you're not partaking. At some point, according to this, the seduction is greater than your self-protection. And what you wind up doing, a believer ought not to be in places like that. If you're thirsty, friend, do not stop at a bar to get a drink of water if alcoholism is your issue. If you've got a problem with pornography, then don't what? Don't go outside. Don't drive down the freeway. Don't look at catalog magazines, TV commercials. It's insane what's out there. Of course, it's impossible to escape that. You're trying to watch a football game and they're selling hamburgers with sex. You got to get up and go get yourself. You got to get out of there. Flee. But if you don't flee, you're going to get caught up into it. And they got caught up into it. She caused them to stumble and to sin and to commit sexual immorality. But Jesus isn't blaming her. He's defining how it came about. Jesus is accusing the pastor for knowing about it and allowing it. And that goes for dads in homes, moms in homes, toward their children. That goes also to us who have friends and their brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that they're getting messed up. We need to speak to them. We need to love on them. Remarkable. Verse 21 says, "And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed." Circle the word sick bed. It's so amazing. Let me elaborate this way. Jesus is saying, verse 22, "Indeed, I will cast her into a bed." What's implied is, indeed, she wants a bed. She loves the bed. I will give her a bed. Her bed will be a bed of pestilence, diseases, and sicknesses. That's the meaning of the word sick bed. A diseased bed. Is this not graphic? This is amazing. Jesus Christ in the Bible. I can just think of somebody right now. Oh my goodness. I can't believe what that pastor just said. Hello. Jesus said in the book of Revelation to the church that's allowing people in the church to be carnal, and the pastor knows it, and he just turns. Listen, he turns over here. He ignores it because they're big tithers, or their dad's on the board, or they're the director of the something or others. Carnal, compromised church. Pastor, can I encourage you? You will stand before nobody but Jesus in the end on the day of judgment. Nobody will be there alone. You will give an account for your church all alone. There's going to be a day when you and I are in eternity, and pastor by pastor, he's going to say, "And to you I write," and he's going to speak to you. "And to the pastor at the church at Chino Hills, I write, Jack, I, with the eyes of fire and the feet of fine brass, declare this." It's going to happen. That's a tremendous challenge. He says, listen, "Indeed, I will cast her," verse 22, "into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her," which, by the way, implies that they are not of Christ. These are not backslidden Christians. These are false believers, because Satan will see to it they're in your church, "into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds." What does that mean? Wow, are you kidding me? Everybody, don't miss this. I know we got like 10 more minutes to go. Hang on. Jesus is saying, there's people in your church, pastor, that are disciples of that woman and that spirit of that woman, Jezebel. I just want you to know, if you don't take care of it, I will take care of it. Because they're not of my people. And they will be cast into great tribulation unless they repent. In other words, unless they come to Christ and become believers. Remarkable. Unless they repent of their deeds. Verse 23, this is off the charts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is gentle Jesus, meek and mild, the coming judge of all glory. Verse 23, "I will kill her children with death." The word means with death, I will make them dead. In other words, I'm going to use death, Jesus says, to make sure they're dead. He uses the word killed. You say, "Jack, that must not be in the real Bible, right?" It's the real word. Jesus Christ, can you believe this? Is saying, I'm going to kill these wicked, false teachers and the followers of false teachers. I'm going to kill them with death. The word implies second death. Listen, I'm going to kill them, and I'm going to kill them to death with death, implying the second death. This is how we know they're not believers. You need to know that because some pastors, teachers, friends might try to convince you that this is a church that's got to go through the tribulation to get pure. Jesus makes it very clear. These are not the church. These are people in the church polluting the church. I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one according to his own works. Remarkable statement. Number three, my dear Thyatira, I've written you a letter. It's a letter of mercy. A letter of mercy, verse 24. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, good for them, who have not known the depths of Satan. Wow. That means those people that were erring had become very familiar with Satan's ways. I will put on you no other burden. Mercy. I don't need to belabor this. We should always, always cry out and call upon God to exercise mercy in our lives. There's a great story, you guys, of, you know, Napoleon and his advancements as he was sweeping the known world at that time. Napoleon, there's an account, documented, mind you, where Napoleon had come to a certain place. They needed more troops. They were advancing along. Very, very victorious. And during this time of recruitment, word came out that there was a particular man in the community, a young man, and let's just say he had not expressed loyalty to Napoleon and was locked up. So when Napoleon came to town, he heard about, well, who's with me, who's against me? Well, these people are with you. There's a handful of people against you. And he said, oh, bring them out. And they bring out, I don't know, 3, 5, 10 people that were in prison for being against Napoleon and the French advancement. And so Napoleon, right there from his horse, condemned them all to death to the guillotine. And there was a woman in the crowd that ran out, and she got a hold of Napoleon's leg, and she says, please, Napoleon, that's my only son. I don't have a husband. I need him for my life. Please have mercy. Please have mercy. Have mercy, great Napoleon. And he said, woman, I am all about justice. And she said, and it struck him. She said, Napoleon, I didn't ask you for justice. I'm pleading with you for mercy. And in that moment, Napoleon was faced with the two profound truths and words that go hand in hand and yet are hard to put together. Justice will never change. Justice has to happen. But God has reserved the act of mercy. And we want to always ask God for mercy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called My Dear Thyatira, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening. And we're not saved by good works, but our good works are always a way of showing others that we are saved. My Dear Thyatira, I've Written You a Letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church. It's a series taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we can either use social media for our benefit, or, like the church at Thyatira, we can allow deceit to compromise our faith and fill us with ungodly philosophies, opinions, and worldviews. It's why Pastor Jack continues to bring us his podcasts, YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and Real Radio shows that promote biblical truth. We often fail to realize the influence that social media has on our lives. And we can easily get bogged down with content that doesn't come from a place of love and hope. So head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com. You'll find easy access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.